If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll turn to we're going to look at the first five verses again. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, and we'll read all together these five verses as Paul is giving a charge to his son in the faith, this preacher boy named Timothy. Let's read together, beginning in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. As I've kind of outlined to you, I've wanted you to know just kind of how we're going here toward the end of the year. And let me just say this, not all the time necessarily the plans of the preacher work out the way it's supposed to, or the way he thinks it's going to. I shouldn't say supposed to. There's a difference between that and what we think is supposed to happen and what God thinks is supposed to happen sometimes. But God has kind of given me this for our church this year, this thing of study to show thyself approved. And I think we've done well going through these elements here in 2 Timothy. We began in the middle of chapter 2, and we've gone all the way through chapter 3, and we're now into chapter 4. And it just, by the way, coincidentally, has worked out that today is the 14th, and we get to talk about this element. Next week is the 21st, and we get one more element to talk about. And then we get a nice little wrap-up. And by the way, with a scripture-given three-point outline for the 28th, which is what Paul says, I have fought a good fight, number one. I have finished my course, number two. And number three, I have kept the faith. And we're going to talk about those things on the 28th as we kind of wrap up and culminate what it means to be a approved workman in the Lord. And so I wanted to give you that to look forward to. Because I'm looking forward to it. You know, God's kind of outlined this with me throughout the year. But today I want to focus on the third part of verse 5. Paul tells Timothy to watch in all things. He tells him, secondly, to endure afflictions. And then now the third thing he says is to do the work of an evangelist. So now I like this third point because it's kind of a we inside the two other we's. Right? Because we have watch and endure, right? We have work, and then I told you I had to manufacture one. Entirely accomplish is our last point that we're going to do. Make full proof of thy ministry. Means to accomplish it. And so we're going to talk about that. But he says, do the work of an evangelist. Okay, so we have a we inside the other we's. All right, so that's a kind of fun there as far as alliteration goes. But this word evangelist that Paul talks about is simply a preacher of the gospel. All right? That's what an evangelist is. And now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts 21. Acts chapter 21. This word is in our New Testament, part of the King James Bible, four times, this word evangelist. And I have them here for you. One of them, of course, is here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says to do the work of an evangelist. In those four times where this is mentioned, we have one individual that's given the title of an evangelist. Recorded in our scriptures, you're looking at it right there in chapter 21 of the book of Acts in verse 8. Let's look at that together and see what we have here. It says, in the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto, what's the name of the town there, everybody? Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip. What's his title? the evangelist. All right? Philip the evangelist. And so we have Philip here. It says here, entered his house, which was one of the seven. Seven what? The seven deacons. All right? That were first chosen back in the, earlier in the book of Acts and abode with him. Now, we're going to take a look at the beginning of this message today at Philip and his work. I think it's important to notice when something is the only thing in the Bible. Are we okay with that? I mean, who else is called an evangelist? Nobody. All right? Philip is called an evangelist. Now, we know in Ephesians that God gives us evangelists, right? For the perfecting of the saints and all those things, right? We understand that. And we know that we're supposed to preach the gospel and be preachers of the gospel, but this man is the only man given the title. When they go to his house, he's Philip the evangelist. And he's one of the seven, if you will. And those seven were the men chosen to be the first deacons, if you will, of the local church back in the book of Acts. So let's take a look at Philip's life and a few other things as we look at this thing of the work of the ministry, if you will. Go back to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And by the way, there were six other guys here, right? And none of them were called an evangelist, but Philip was. And we're going to look at his progression in his life as we get to this point where now he's in Caesarea. And Paul comes and they stay at their house, at Philip's house, and they're there. So there in Acts chapter 6, it says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. So let me ask you a question. If they're going to have these characteristics for qualities that a deacon needs, or someone who's going to be a servant of the Lord in this capacity, don't you suppose that those qualities are going to stay with Philip as he becomes an evangelist? Yeah, it seems to reason, right? And so think about that as we look to our lives, because Paul says in our charge to do the work of an evangelist. So he tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And so we need to be the right kind of evangelist, right? As we're preachers of the gospel, there are qualifications for pastors. There are qualifications for deacons. Shouldn't there be some qualifications for evangelists? Preachers of the gospel, absolutely. Well, I think we should look at the man who was qualified to bear the title and see what kind of qualifications he had. So here they are. Ready? He says here that this evangelist was supposed to be, these deacons, these men, these seven men, are supposed to be something. So here they are. Look out among you, I lost my spot, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Folks, as we go out and preach the word and do the work of evangelists, we ought to be of honest report, right? A good testimony. We talked about that. There should be some evidence of God in our lives. We should be full of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? Wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, right? And so we understand that we can have the wisdom, be full of the Holy Ghost. It says, whom we may appoint over this business. By the way, those three things, shouldn't every Christian be of honest report? Shouldn't every Christian be filled with the Holy Ghost? Shouldn't every Christian be filled with the wisdom of God? Absolutely we should. All of us should. And by the way, if that's all it takes to be an evangelist, I'm in, right? We should be able to do that. We can do all of those things and be a part of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says here that these men were chosen. Let's skip down a few verses here. And it says here, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we have this wonderful thing happen, right? And these men are chosen, and the church continues to flourish, right? So things are going well, and this is happening. So when does Philip, if you will, cease from being a deacon, if you will, and become Philip the evangelist? Well, skip ahead. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now, in the first couple verses here, it talks about a, if you will, what we would consider a negative time in the church as some temperatures heat up, if you will. Okay? And so look here, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Of course, that's, of course, Stephen. And at the last time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the church is scattered abroad. Who stays behind? The apostles. Okay? So that means who goes away? The deacons. Okay? Those guys are scattered abroad. All right? So we have that. Saul makes havoc on the church there. And it says, look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Okay, so those that were scattered abroad, they began preaching the word. How many of you have ever been to a fire, right? And you have a fire, all the embers there, right? And it's glowing and burning and stuff. And anybody ever taken something, and I wouldn't recommend using your foot, but kick that thing or hit it, and what happens? Those embers, they kind of, boom, right? They go everywhere. And what do those embers do wherever they land? Yeah, they catch on fire, right? That's a bad thing to do. So don't do that. But this is what Saul did. And the religious leaders, they ended up scattering the gospel fire. By the way, wasn't that God's intent anyways? Yeah. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and yeah, all over the place. And so this is what's happening here. And look at who's mentioned the very next verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and listen to what he did. So he's not serving tables and taking care of widows now. What's he doing? Preaching Christ. So Philip goes down to Samaria and he preaches Christ. And by the way, if you read the next few verses here, a great experience happens here. And look at verse 14. When the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. By the way, I know there were other people there, but who was the keynote man taking charge of this? Philip. Philip the evangelist. All right? And so he takes charge of this, and he's preaching, and this great revival is happening, and Peter and John come up there, and they deal with some things and deal with the people and help things there, etc. Now look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down. By the way, this man is, what qualifications does he have? He is of honest report. He's full of the Holy Ghost, right? And what else is he? He's full of wisdom. And so the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, okay, Philip, you stirred up something here in Samaria. Now I want you to go over here and I want you to meet this eunuch in the way. And of course, we have the story of the Ethiopian eunuch here, which many of us use A lot of times out soul winning, we'll explain to people, and you know, this is a guy, understandest what thou readest, and he of course doesn't, and how can I understand if some man explain to me? And Philip preaches to him who? Jesus again. He's preaching the word. Is he doing the work of an evangelist? He absolutely is. And Philip, look at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It's wonderful. And the eunuch believes, he gets baptized. And I want you to look here at the end of the chapter in verse 40. It says, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to, he's there. And where does Paul find him? In that same town. And so we know that at Caesarea is where Philip kind of ended up. And we see this is the same Philip. But by the time he reaches Caesarea and Paul and his company stop by, he is Philip the evangelist. And by the way, he's doing the work of an evangelist. He's preaching in all the cities and preaching everywhere. He gets scattered out of Jerusalem because of the persecution of Saul of Tarsus. By the way, you think Philip and Saul were kind of on a first name basis, you suppose? I suppose, right? I mean, Saul knew Stephen, right? And I'm sure he knew the other deacons, and I'm sure we know that Saul of Tarsus knew these names because he had a list. He was going around trying to imprison these people and get these. So I bet you Philip the evangelist was on his list. And don't you think it interesting that now in Acts 21, he comes by and stays at his house? I love that. I think that's great. What great symmetry there that the scriptures bring us to those things. But now we got the history. Let's focus in on the work of an evangelist. And let me just say something, Christians. We are all commanded to preach the gospel. We're all supposed to do the work of an evangelist. Not just a Philip. And not just a Paul, if you will. Not just a Timothy. Timothy is supposed to do the work of an evangelist. He's supposed to go forth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me just say something to all of us. We all need to be better preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Now, these little guys right here are great little silent preachers. They'll preach for you, right? It's all listed out in outline form. And it even comes with a decision that they can make to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're wonderful little preachers. And guess what? You can do the work of an evangelist by getting these little guys out in people's hands. And you know what? You can one step it. You can step it up one and just say, hey, may I show this to you? And you can show them the gospel. And you can say, you know what? Do you know you need to trust Christ as your Savior? Could I lead you to Jesus Christ? And you could pray with them and you can help them accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Folks, you can do some wonderful things with these little paper preachers. They're great little things. And you can do the work of an evangelist that way. You can do it without a paper preacher and you could just call it from memory and give your testimony of how you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Your evidence, right? We talked about being a witness and being a testimony in our world today. But we all need to do the work of an evangelist. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn on over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we see this word evangelist again. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Paul writes to the folks in Ephesus, and he says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists. So these come third on the list. Okay? So the apostles, we have the folks that stayed in Jerusalem, right? After the scattering. We have, you know, Peter, James, and John, and those guys. And they were called, those called out 12, those first, if you will, inaugural or charter members of the First Baptist Church there of Jerusalem, right? And so these guys, they're apostles, and there were some qualifications for apostles, and there were prophets. We know prophets, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, or I like to call him Malachi. He's the Italian prophet, because that's how it's spelled. You have all those things there, and we have prophets, and then he says we have evangelists. So we're supposed to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at these, and some pastors and teachers. So these are all, if you will, spiritual gifts. These are things that God wants us to use for his work. Listen to what these are for. They're for the perfecting of the saints. They're for the work of the ministry. They're for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You remember back in Acts chapter 2, right? I'll flip back over there real quick. Just kind of hold your place here in Ephesians. Look at what God did in the church at the beginning here as they are filled with the Holy Ghost and they're preaching here. I want you to notice this. They preach the word. They preach the gospel. They see people saved, right? And baptized and add to the church. But look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, God wants to see his church to grow. He wants to see the citizens of his kingdom become more and more citizens, right? Can I tell you something? God would love for all of mankind to be a part of his heavenly kingdom. But we're not all going to be because of our own choices. You understand, though, that doesn't exclude us from preaching the gospel. You say, well, by the way, there's a group out there that they don't go out and preach the gospel because they say, well, God's already decided who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. So there's no reason for us to go. Is the right way to say it? I have always said it vehemently, but vehemently, is that right? Yeah, whatever, however you pronounce that. Kind of like cul-de-sacs, right? we discovered that yesterday. I'm much opposed to that. That's not true, because why would God tell us to go, preach, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, if we weren't supposed to? Seems like a waste of time. And why would God waste our time? I don't think he's into wasting our time. Actually, I think he's into redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. So God wants us to go and to preach the gospel. Because people need to be put to a choice. Are you going to choose Christ or not? How many of you are like me, and your nature is to not do things until you have to do them? Anybody else like that? Okay. How many of you are the other way around, where you're always doing things way beforehand? Yeah, I love you people. I'm married to one of those people. Because they keep people like me in check. It's a great help. Because I'm kind of a last minute kind of person by nature. I've had to correct that over the years and know my weaknesses. But can I tell you something? A lot of people won't do anything about Jesus unless you force the issue. I mean, when's the last time you asked somebody, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Because guess what? They're probably not going to think about it or do anything about it until you force the issue. That's why we call it confrontational soul winning. And now, confrontational doesn't mean that we're going to start a fight, but it means we're going to confront them with the elephant in the room. With the fact that they're a never-dying soul, that they're condemned already to hell, according to the Word of God, and they need a Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to preach the gospel to them. We're going to put them to a point of decision. You know what? My goal is, when I give them one of these tracts and I explain the gospel, I want them to either choose or not to choose Jesus Christ right now. No, I wish that they would choose Him, right? But I can't force them to. But I'm going to put them to a choice. And guess what? Them saying later is saying what? Saying no. Now, can they say yes later? Perhaps. I remember Dr. Lassiter's testimony as he was invited to church and came, and he was there in a service and sitting in the back row of the sanctuary there in Arlington, and had his little daughter with him, and I believe his wife was there too, and the invitation was given, and he waited several times. The preacher just kept the invitation going, and a lady tapped him on the shoulder and said to him, the little girl had fallen asleep, and he said, if you want to go up front, I'll watch the baby. And he looked at her like, why would I want to go up front? But he didn't say that, of course. It's just that the kind of look he, that's what he thought. But here's his testimony. He knew in his own heart, in his own soul, that if he wouldn't have gone down the aisle to receive Christ that night, that was his last opportunity. He knew it. You know, thank God he did, right? And he did trust Christ as his Savior, and he did have that opportunity. But folks, listen, we've got to be preachers of the gospel. We need to do the work of an evangelist so that the body of Christ can become what it needs to become. But can I tell you something? We can use some more members of this body. Everybody okay with that? Yeah, so how do we get them? Do the work of an evangelist. Go out and preach the gospel everywhere you go. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to do the work that God has called us to do. Acts chapter 16, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Remember the Macedonian call that Paul and his company received? They tried to go here, they tried to go there, they couldn't go there. And then the man of Macedonia appeared to them and come and preach to us. And so they went and they preached the gospel to those people, and people were saved and added to the church. We ought to be ready to preach the gospel. We ought to be sent to preach the gospel. We've been sent. Christ has told us to go, so we should go and preach. I love what Paul says in Romans. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, the angels appeared to the shepherds. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What were they supposed to do? They're supposed to go see the baby. And then after they went and saw the baby, then what? They just go back to their sheep and they just hang out and just, oh man, what an experience we had. No, they went into all the region and they published what they had seen, folks. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, born into this world. Have you been born again? If you have, you're to do the work of an evangelist. You're to go forth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Corinthians several different verses here, but he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words, wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Chapter 9, verse 14, Paul says, even so hath the Lord ordained they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Verse 16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. What a statement. So I've got to preach it. And if I don't preach it, woe unto me. Does it eat you up that you don't tell people about Jesus Christ? It should. Or are you just content not doing the work of an evangelist? I hope not. I told you last week kind of what happened to me, and it has happened to me before. By the way, I did a good job this week. My wife helped me make sure I had tracks in my car. She's the one that makes sure I have tracks in my pockets, because I go off and forget things all the time. I think I'd lose my own head if it wasn't attached to my body. But, everywhere I went this week, by the way, the McDonald's drive-thru guy got three different times got gospel tracks, okay? And I make sure I give them, I try to give them to the gospel, I try to give the gospel tracts to the person at the pay window and the person at the food window. You know, I can get two out that way. You know, try to get the gospel tracts out to people everywhere we go. And you know, we wanna make sure we preach the gospel. And if we don't, woe unto us. By the way, if something is woe unto you, is that good or bad? That's bad. Let me just kind of connect the dot for you. If we're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, will there be any woes laying on us there? No. No woes. Because we're approved. So therefore, if we're going to be approved unto God, what do we ought to be? A good workman. This is going to be a one that does the work of an evangelist. We need to be concerned about the work. Now, last Sunday night, we're going to do a little more work into this tonight in our study. But remember back in John chapter 4 that Jesus said that they're supposed to be ready for the harvest now. And that they didn't, that he had the connotation, if you will, or the sentiment that they weren't doing the work that he had sent them to do. They went all the way into town and came back all the way out to the well and didn't tell anybody about Jesus, as far as we know. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He says, hey, you need to be doing the work of an evangelist. You need to be laboring in the fields, preaching the gospel. If you go back to our text verse today and look at verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things. What does that mean? Look up. Pay attention. Be sober, be ready, be looking, and noticing these things are necessary. Endure the afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. In Jesus' earthly ministry, he was concerned with his Father's work. I mean, how many times over and over again, I have dozens of scriptures here to share with you today, but just to pick out a few. Look at John 3. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, Jesus Christ came not to, if you will, bring in the kingdom, but to bring salvation. The good news, the gospel message of himself dying and sacrificing himself and raising again the third day and becoming our salvation for us. That's what the Son came to do, that the world could be saved. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. Jesus told the disciples over in Matthew chapter 5, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, and to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So you understand, folks, that we need to do the work of the evangelist. We need to watch and be ready. I'd like to couple these two W's, the watch and the work, together by this verse in Mark 13. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house. Now listen to this. He left his house. By the way, did the disciples in Acts see him go up into heaven? Right? Left his house and gave authority to his servants. Hello, everyone. What did he say? All power is given unto me, right? And he says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's given authority to his servants and to every man his work. Did he give them an assignment? Did he give them their work? What were they supposed to do? Go and teach all nations. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. And be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God gave him their work to do. He says this. He says, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, by the way, if he finds you sleeping, are you going to be approved or unapproved? Unapproved. Not approved. And I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, folks, we have a responsibility to do the work of an evangelist, to make sure we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said he's here to do his Father's work. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. What's the will of God, folks? For people to be saved. For people to come to repentance and to come to salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we get to be the preachers of that. We get to tell people. We get to bring people to a point of decision. Hey, sir, ma'am, I'd like to share with you my Savior, Jesus Christ. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I'd like to show you how you can know for sure. The Bible tells you. And we preach to them Jesus. And just like Philip went and he preached in all the cities, he preached Jesus. And unto the Ethiopian eunuch, he preached Jesus. And the cities on the way to Caesarea where he would finally settle down and be called Philip the Evangelist. He did the work of an evangelist. No longer Philip the deacon. Philip, the servant of widow's tables. But now Philip, the evangelist. And he completed the work. He did the work of an evangelist. Folks, may I submit to you and I today that we need to be better evangelists for Jesus Christ. We need to be better preachers of the gospel everywhere we go. To everyone that we come in contact with. This is a charge before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to preach the word. He wants us to do the work of an evangelist, to watch in all things and endure afflictions. And next week we're going to talk about how we can make full proof of our ministry in the Lord. But will you decide today? It's not just for pastors. This is not just for assistant pastors. This is not just for those that are called into full-time Christian service or being a missionary, or this is for all of us. Scattered abroad, everywhere, preaching the word, doing the work of an evangelist.